Well, Ryder fans sure got their money's worth on Friday night. I thought a lot of us believed it was going to be a pretty big victory for the Riders. Not as close as it became. 39-32. It might have gone into overtime, if not
more. 23 seconds remaining. 32 all. Alford crosses the 20 to the 30 to the 40. He's got something to the 50.
Come on.
On races. No one's going to touch him. No. Walk it off!
99-yard kickoff return, and just like that, the Riders are now 3-0, but 178 yards in penalties. But hey, a win's a win, right? Belton Johnson, our Grey Cup chap, Green Zone analyst, agreed? A win's a win, or what?
Oh, yeah. In this case, I got to agree, Greg. And that, what a kickoff return by Alford there, man. Wow.
Then, of course, there's a lot to discuss in not only penalties, but, here we go again. There's kicker Brett Lauther, who missed that 33-yard field goal that should have been a gimme and would have put the Riders up 10 with a couple minutes left. He was 5-for-5 on convert attempts, but 1-for-2 on high on field goals, which... of course, that miss coming from 33 yards, does it make it harder to defend him, or are you concerned?
I'm not going to be concerned just yet, just being that it's still early in the season, right? And, yes, I think he probably should have made it, but what got me, I don't know if you saw it, Greg, was that glare that he gave his holder a little bit there, on the TSN broadcast. So hopefully they get things figured out because they are going to need Brett Lauther. They needed him this game because that could have ended it if he had made it, man.
No kidding. Well, let's break it down a little more here. What's your assessment of the defense overall?
I'm liking everything, right? I believe they had 4 sacks. Again, they did, I think, in the third quarter, they kind of lulled themselves asleep there because Arbuckle was looking like the second coming of somebody out there with him passing to Mitol, the receiver there for the Argos. But again, penalties, jumping off sides, misconduct, right? I think you stated there 178 yards worth of penalties. Not all on the defense or anything, but, you know, when you get penalties like that, this is the reason you have games like this, Greg.
And through it all, Belton Johnson, the offense, some highlights. Dante Meyer steps up, 125 receiving yards and a couple of TDs.
That was crazy. The one catch went for, 70 yards there. He is a dynamic player, and again, a guy that stepped up. You're looking at the receiving core. You got a couple of receivers out. Schaefer Baker's up, and, you know, those guys, they found a way. Keyshawn Johnson, you could call him Mr. Fourth Quarter because he's got a couple first downs there in the fourth quarter. And, hey, don't forget the flying mullet, man. Holy cow.
Wow.
25-yard touchdown run, Greg.
Whoa. Rushing what, for 91 yards? Total, I think.
91 yards rushing, 17 carries. And, don't forget about Tommy Tugboat Stevens. We got a nice short yardage quarterback there.
Oh, yes. No kidding. That is a beauty. And Mitch Becton got a nice grab, highlight reel grab there, too. So, but undisciplined. Again, so I can only imagine what Coach Mace is going to be working on this week.
I think I'd be scared to kind of come to practice with the amount of penalties because, you look at the first two games, a total of 8 penalties, right? And this game here was, I'm going to consider this an anomaly, I guess, and we'll see what happens because you can't do that against the BC Lions coming in here this upcoming weekend.
It is going to be fun. Can't wait for the Lions to arrive at the same time. It'll be an interesting week, as you outlined there, with the coach and trying to get discipline back in this game. All right, buddy. We survive another week. A heart stopper there. Thanks for your intel.
The 3-0, Greg. You have a good one.
Well, not everyone got a dump of rain. Some areas very little. Others, like east side of the province there in the Kindersley, Rosetown, Eston area, they got quite a bit of rain. No, we didn't do so bad here. Grass is a lot greener. Fields, I hope, are benefiting from some rain. Probably some areas of this province would beg for much more. But I did speak to my buddy, Lee Stanley, who farms in the southeast corner there near the Manitoba border, Gainsborough, Saskatchewan. And Lee got about 0.3 of an inch, pretty moderate, hoping for more, right?
We don't have a surplus like we usually do, but I would say we're adequate at the moment. We sure wouldn't turn down a rain. Pastures and hay are probably starting to hurt a little bit, but the crops are coming along nicely. We're in the weed chemical spraying stage right now in crops. So guys are doing fungicides and getting caught up.
And when you compare from where you were last year this time, is it about on par?
Yeah, maybe a little bit ahead. We're doing good. We're not going to complain. So
you're feeling good at this point of the growing season?
Yeah, we'd like to see a little price increase and like to see our trade wars settle down, of course, but that's a little above my pay grade.
And mine, Lee. Thank you so much for checking in from Gainsborough, Saskatchewan. Not the greatest weather near Calgary, about a half hour outside of Calgary of the weekend. They got a ton of snow, 30 centimeters in some parts. Like, that's just a little less than a foot of snow. And I know it was Banff, Sunshine Village was sharing photos of all the fresh powder, and they immediately said, okay, how about a discount on upcoming ski passes? So crazy weather there. Hey, on the weekend, I watched that Ocean Gate documentary on Netflix, the documentary that examines everything that happened and led up to that 2023 implosion of the Titan submersible, which was on a deep sea dive to the Titanic wreck site. I thought the doc was pretty good. After watching it, you quickly begin to understand how billionaire owner of Oceangate, this Stockton Rush guy, had only one mission, and that was to ignore anyone who was telling him anything differently. He knew best. He ignored safety standards. All the people he hired around him to tell him didn't listen to him, and it cost his life and the lives of others, too. And the documentary shows footage of the sub's carbon fiber hull beginning to fail. That was most bizarre in this thing. He could outwardly hear how it was failing when he was testing it on a dive. Here's a moment. They've got little microphones all over the hull so that it can pick up any sound if it's failing. Those pops are it failing. And he's inside it right now testing it.
Crack. That will get your attention.
Yeah, he says that'll get your attention. That was one of the tests he did, and it continued like that, and inevitably putting the public, those who paid to go see the Titanic, and of course to their death too. But yeah, I'd give it a thumbs up if you want a little more on that Titan submersible, what exactly the story was behind the scenes. It was a pretty good documentary. I know this week The Bear is a huge popular series, and The Bear drops on Disney Plus, new season on Wednesday, and later this week, third and final season of Squid Game comes out on Friday on Netflix. And if you're going to the movies, here's one, the next movie. Mission Impossible got me back to the theaters a couple weeks ago. This might be the movie to do it again. I want to see F1, the movie with Brad Pitt. He plays a washed-up Formula One driver who's coaxed out of retirement. And they shot a lot of the scenes during the F1 in Vegas last year. So very authentic, and it's getting really good reviews too. Well, last week it was Thursday night downtown Moose Jaw. It was the big parade to bring on the hometown fair, and perhaps the weather wasn't on the side fairgoers as much as you'd like, but certainly with Frontier Days coming up in Swift Current starting on Wednesday, the forecast is looking decent. Man, Frontier Days starts Wednesday, goes right through Saturday, and they've got some big name entertainment coming through there. Neil McCoy and guests on Friday night, and the Big Midway, and so much more. So lots to look forward to there. If you are visiting Regina and want to take a little piece of Regina home with you, well, here's something that smells pretty good. Tourism Regina and the City of Regina have put a collaboration together of new merchandise, and it's available right now, and it includes the Scent of Regina signature candle. The fragrance, courtesy of Sarah Lindsay of Ruby Reed Fine Fragrance, and It's nice to have Sarah join me now for a moment. Thank you for being here, Sarah. Let's start with the idea itself. Was it yours or did tourism approach you with it?
Oh, it must have been maybe a month and a half ago, 2 months ago. The Tourism Regina approached me and asked if I'd be interested in collaborating with them to create a signature scent for the city in a candle and a diffuser oil.
So when the city calls you up, Sarah, and says, hey, we want you to do this candle, do you ask them, well, what does Regina smell like?
Yeah, that was a bit of that was a question for sure.
Do you have a group chat of like, okay, let's talk about this?
Well, actually, we made a little an appointment. She came to my studio. I presented her with a few different blends, and we together went through what we thought would sort of smell that everyone would like, or as many people as possible. We didn't want to make it too fruity, too spicy, too whatever, and then it would appeal to the most number of people.
Whoa. Fruity, spicy. That's not what I'm thinking here. Like, I thought maybe you had the smell as you passed the refinery. Could you recapture that?
No, we passed on that idea.
Okay. I got another one here. You know how in the spring the ice is melting on Wascana Lake and the LJ Bloom is rotting and it's coming to the surface and you hold your nose over the Albert Street Bridge? Now that's a smell that says to me, we're in Regina.
Okay, well, maybe this candle is meant to cover up those.
To get a scent of Regina that smells better. I see what you're doing here. No, but seriously, when you think of the scents, what's going into this scent of Regina then?
Well, what we ended up with was the top four most prevalent scents: cedar, vanilla, lavender, and sage.
Well, that's a pretty cool opportunity for you. So what's it retail for?
Oh, it was amazing. The candle is a 12-ounce candle, so it's a pretty big candle, and it retails for $54.
Yeah.
And the diffuser oil is a 30 mil, and it retails for $42.
What's the reaction been like? It's just gone on sale, but what's the reaction been like?
So far, great. Yeah, we've just had a really positive response so far, and I just hope it keeps going that way.
Ruby Reed Fine Fragrance is on 13th Avenue, 3026 13th Avenue, and Sarah Lindsay's my guest. You can buy this at your shop on 13th Avenue, and will it be available anywhere else?
Actually, the City Lights candle is available at City Hall and at the airport. My other scents that I make are in my studio.
What is it officially called?
City Lights.
By Sarah Lindsay of Ruby Reed Fine Fragrance. You want to smell Regina, you put your nose in this candle.
Yes, well, we're just hoping it kind of creates a memory of the charm of the city.
And I hope that it accomplishes that, because that's a nice keepsake for anyone who visits us. Any other cities reach out yet to say, hey, create a candle for us, or do you hope that happens?
Yeah, no, not yet. Not yet.
Well, maybe Moose Jaw. Maybe Moose Jaw's next. What does Moose Jaw smell like to you?
Are we going to go there?
Moose droppings, of course. That giant moose.
You gotta
incorporate the moose. All right. Well, I hope Moose Jaw Mayor is calling you soon and says, come on, let's get a tourist candle going. Hey, what a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks for being a great sport. And
thank you.
I hope it's a huge success and you sell a lot of candles. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And thank you for your support of local business.
Well, it's all adding up. If you have kids who are graduating this year, the prepping, the planning, it's evolved a lot more over the last few years into a high-stakes plan of, well, the perfect gown or suit, the pictures, the cost of getting prepared, the hair. It's crazy. I spoke to one mom, Brandy from Martinsville, who shared with me recently how her daughter's plans we're going leading up to the big prom, and first there comes the dress.
Oh, yes. We've had our dress since September because, you know, they always say if you want to get your dress, you have to order it in. There might be issues, but she got lucky and found one off of last year's style off the rack that fit her like a glove, and it was just meant for her.
That's nice. And for added security, I know a lot of students, they share their dress purchases on social media, right?
Yeah, all the girls have an Instagram page, and as soon as you get your dress, you upload your dress and your style number to this Instagram page, and then nobody else will buy that dress. Even like the shop that she bought from in Saskatoon, they take her name and her school and they write down the dress style and don't let anybody else from her school buy that dress, not even in the same color.
Wow. It's good that they do that, I guess. And don't forget there's hair, the family pictures, the makeup. So how much does this all cost when it's all said and done for you?
Oh my gosh, you don't even want to know. Like, it's crazy how expensive it is these days. Her dress, we got lucky, like I said, is last season. So her dress was about $650, so that wasn't horrible. But her best friend spent $1,200 on her grad dress.
No.
So they can get up there. And then the hair trial is about $100. Makeup, we're going to do ourselves because she dances, so she knows how to do like her stage makeup and stuff. And then photos, you can spend up to like $400 for photos. Oh, you've got your grad dinner. I just spent $500 for 7 people to go and eat dinner and watch her dance around and do her grand march. You've got your grad photos, like your high school photos. Those were like about $300 for the smallest package. Like anybody who's budgeting for grad next year, you're looking at like $1,000, $2,000 for all of your things. It's crazy. I'm spending almost as much as I did for my wedding.
Hey, but it was worth it, right?
It only happens once, so she's going to feel and look like a princess, and it'll be great.
Oh, well, thanks for sharing and giving us a little insight into graduation. I guess I'll have to take your tip there and start saving for my youngest and her graduation in a few years from now. I wanted to take you to Florida. Yesterday, the Florida Panthers Stanley Cup Championship celebrations. They haven't stopped partying. They're still rolling. And tens of thousands of people showed up in Fort Lauderdale on the beach. There was a big parade, too, where they took the Stanley Cup. And the crew was in party mode again. And on stage after the parade, Sam Bennett had a message for anyone who thinks the Panthers play dirty.
You know, a lot of people they don't like the way we play. They don't like, they call us dirty. They call us nasty. They call us bullies. So, no, I would like to take this time to apologize to absolutely f***ing no one. We're the double champs. We do what the f*** we want. Let's go!
And then they popped a few more champagne bottles, and I just want to say, this team has stamina. Like I said, they won, what, last Tuesday night? Was it Tuesday night, I think? And they haven't stopped partying since. And, man, they went hard again yesterday. It must be over now. After the parade, you think it's got to come to an end, but my social media feed was just blowing up on the weekend with Matthew Tkachuk. He did similar comments, and they were calling him McDavid in a derogatory way at one nightclub the other night. They are preparing themselves for a dynasty in their minds, but little do they know the Oilers have plans to spoil that next year.